Hey, this is Will Wheaton. You're listening to Radio Brendo Man.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
And we're the guys that do the show for you. How you doing, Phil?
Doing pretty good. How you doing?
Oh, you know, doing all right. Yeah. Had steak tacos for dinner.
Ooh, I had chicken tacos for dinner.
It was John cooked for like the first time in forever. And so it was steak taco night. It's good.
Nice. Yeah. Janelle cooked for the lots of times ever, and it was delicious.
So how do you know she didn't put something weird in your chicken?
It's a don't ask, don't tell type situation when she's cooking. I'm not allowed to know what goes in, and she doesn't tell me. And then everything tastes good.
So because like you have all these weird things, rice in. Yeah, somebody's been watching Breaking Bad. Because there's the one of the funniest stories about your eating and Janelle's cooking is like one time she told you, what was it, like how she made like her teriyaki sauce?
It was a teriyaki sauce. It was like right after we got married. And I was like, that was amazing. How did you make that? And she said, all you do is you put like brown sugar and ketchup together.
Because that's pretty much that.
And I was
like,
that was it. I was done. I was
why?
Like, I will never eat that again.
That
can't
doesn't
that.
Even make sense.
That's
what's
horrible.
So bad about brown sugar? You love ketchup.
Yes, and I love brown sugar, but
you've had barbecue sauce. That's what barbecue sauce is.
Well, maybe I could accept it in a barbecue sauce, but this was teriyaki.
But brown sugar is in a lot of things.
It may be, but I don't want to know about it. That's why we have the don't ask, don't tell rule in the kitchen.
It's so dumb. And then you go to McDonald's and you'll eat some processed food patty and you know what's in that.
I don't know what's in there. I don't know.
But you know. You know.
I vaguely have a sense of what's going on there, but I just don't think about it. As long as I don't think about it, then I don't mind.
What's your favorite food in the whole world?
I don't know. Pizza, maybe? I don't know.
It's made of peanut butter and hair.
If I found out pizza was made of peanut butter and hair, I would never eat it again.
Really?
Yes, but that's ridiculous. Of course it's not made out of peanut butter and hair.
You don't know.
Well, there is peanut butter pizza, but not hair pizza.
What if there was hair pizza?
That's the worst thing ever.
Like, okay, like, what if you had, like, the best thing you've ever had in your life, and then I told you you just ate pure hair?
Then I would vomit all over the place and never eat that particular kind.
Why would you?
Again.
It was delicious.
No, because then I know I had just eaten a ton of hair.
Except it was delicious.
All right, what if you ate some delicious soup and I told you it was all poo?
If it was delicious, I wouldn't care because I'd be like, how did you make
what
this
if I told you it was my poo?
So delicious.
That
if
I
it was that delicious,
I
wouldn't
is.
Care.
I my poo tastes what like
no,
what
it
I
does.
Ate.
Shut up, dude. That's gross. Now you're trying to get me to eat your poo. I don't like that.
See, I can turn this around.
What is happening?
We're 3 minutes and 20 seconds in, and we're talking about poop already. That's what.
It's the PooCast. Poo talk.
Now, I have to admit, I have been involved in a large number of different podcasts that do tend towards poo.
Yeah.
I may have something to do with that. I don't know.
Like talking about poo. Hey, man, Mozart talked about poo.
There you go.
Did you heard about this? I didn't know about this until Jack White actually produced an Insane Clown Posse song, and it was actually a Mozart song that was about poo. And it was,
what?
Like, real. Mozart wrote tons of song, like, scatological songs about poo and
I knew
pooping.
That part.
And Insane Clown Posse made their own version of one of them, and Jack White produced it.
Wow. That's a really weird and
but that's how I found out about that. I didn't know about that whole part of, I didn't know Mozart, but I guess he was German, but I thought that was just a stereotype about Germans.
No, Germans love to talk about poop.
Why is that?
That and David Hasselhoff.
But that's so weird. So, like, Mozart, who's like a musical, one of the musical geniuses ever, was like, talking about poo, just like us.
That's what makes him such a genius. He was a regular guy.
Rest in peace. Have you seen the parody of the Gathering of the Juggalos commercial, the SNL parody with like Amy Poehler, and it was like Amy Poehler and have you seen this Gathering of the Juggalos infomercial?
No.
Oh, dude, it's the greatest thing of all time. So every probably 5 or 6 years ago, they did this giant 20-minute infomercial to promote their Gathering of the Juggalos, and it's like, we got carnival rides, we got the zipper, we got people, fire jugglers, and then those the craziest bands ever, and it's just really funny. And then they've done it every year since then, and then SNL parodied it. Oh, dude, you gotta watch it.
I'll look it up.
When you have 20 minutes to spare, just SNL, Google SNL Gathering the Juggalos, but you gotta watch the real one, too.
Okay.
The newer ones are full on, the newer commercials are like works of art. Like, they have like whole performances, and like Vanilla Ice is in them. What? And, oh, dude, it's amazing. I can't believe you've never seen these.
I will definitely check out that then.
So this has been Pooh and Insane Clown Posse Talk on Radio Brenda Man. I hope you've enjoyed the show. So we have one reader mail.
Just one. I got a message from our friend Quinn DePasquale. And he must be listening back through some old classic Radio Brenda Man episodes, because he's referring to when I was talking about Brave, the movie Brave, and the bear.
Yeah.
And he said, the gesturing of the bear in Brave made perfect sense, ya goof.
Ya goof.
That's all. I like the ya goof. That was perfect. Yeah. So he's referring to, I was complaining about the bear gesturing and stuff. And if you remember correctly, I was complaining about the bear talking and then realized after staunchly defending my standpoint that, in fact, the bear does not talk.
So you were totally wrong.
Yeah, I was totally wrong. But I admitted it, I'm pretty sure. If not, you know.
And then he calls you a goof?
And then he called me a goof. So anyway, but he said the gesturing made perfect sense. My response to that is, it may have made sense, but it didn't make it any less stupid.
So, and that's the final word.
And that's my final word. And that's been our reader mail tonight.
All right, well, we have a question from the audience. Justin asks, was September more defined by the start of school or the start of new Saturday morning cartoons? I know I was always excited. I remember in Archie and some of the other comic books, they would have the big fall cartoon previews.
Right.
And it would be because I remember there was this NBC one where it was Camp Candy and the new season of Saved by the Bell and all those shows. And I remember being very excited, but I also remember when I was a kid, younger, I didn't care if it was a rerun. So I just thought I didn't have a concept of a TV season, you know?
Yeah. It's just especially because
just cartoons.
You only got to watch so much as it is, and you didn't know, and if you saw another one, it was or one you've seen already, you're sweet, I love this one.
But I did get excited when I knew it was oh, right, new shows are coming. It's their new big lineup. Let's see what you got.
Camp Candy was awesome. I loved that show.
I liked all those cartoons. Saturday morning cartoons, I guess that's not a thing anymore.
I think they still have cartoons on Saturday morning.
Well, I think they just have cartoons. But I feel I don't know, there's Cartoon Network now.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. It's not limited to Saturday morning. Kids wouldn't even understand what that means anymore.
Yeah. That's weird. I remember watching all the old Hanna-Barbera stuff, which now I watch and I'm like, this is terrible, some of them. I tried watching Thundar.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
Yeah, there's some of that that's definitely not aged as well as others. I think I'm going to start a new rule that my kids only get to watch Saturday morning type cartoons on Saturdays.
That's terrible.
Let's see how that works. Well, I want them to have the sense of what Saturday morning is like, though.
Don't force them to be dumb like you.
All right, I probably
won't
do
that. That's encouraging some weird, crazy... Now, you can only watch these cartoons on Saturdays.
And no internet cartoons until
says,
Saturday.
Kids today will just watch. See, yeah, like, you don't, I don't know, like, you don't, we don't, the world of on demand has, like, completely changed everything, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because, like,
kids, they don't even know what's happening when the tape rewinds. They're like, Daddy, why is it making a weird sound?
They never had to worry about, you know, when you could get up and, like, watch Disney Channel and instead of cartoons, a stupid Mousercise or something.
You had to wait for or You and Me Kid. You remember that one?
All those things
sucked. You and Me Kid. That was the last one that was on. It was Mousercise and You and Me Kid. And then Duck Presents would start right after that, and that's when I had to go to school.
And then, like, on Nickelodeon, when you would stay home and it would be, like, Nick Jr.
Yes.
Like, oh.
What a waste. After, although,
like,
I liked Eureka's
after, like,
Castle.
The third hour. Okay, Eureka's Castle was all right, but some of those other ones is boring.
Eureka's Castle.
And there was David the Gnome, which was all right, I guess.
Yeah, there were some good ones. Didn't they have the
what
Littles
Belle
on
and Sebastian?
For a while? Yeah, Belle and Sebastian. That's the koala one, right?
Yes.
The koala one? Yeah.
That was the koala one. I like Belle and Sebastian. That was good.
See, they had some good ones. They had well, way back, they used to play Danger Mouse on Nickelodeon,
yeah.
too.
And then there was Count
which
Duckula.
I love Danger Mouse. Count Duckula. I have the whole Danger Mouse on DVD.
But, and then, like, I guess parts of Pinwheel were okay. But after, like, wasn't it, like, 3 hours long?
Yeah.
So, like, on Pinwheel was. Hour 3, you're like, I'm tired of these vegetable puppets.
What about, what was the one called where he, Today's Special.
Today's Special, the mannequin.
Oh,
I love
that,
that
one with the mouse and then the, like, guy puppet. And
but,
he turns into he comes alive at night.
Yeah. So,
that
like, the
right?
puppet is magic. And then, but this is like a real department store with a magic mannequin. But they have a puppet old guy that's the security guard.
Right.
And that's normal. And there's a mouse.
And a talking mouse.
The puppet mouse that talks.
But then there's a regular lady that works there, too.
Yes. So we already are in a weird universe.
Yeah. And then isn't there something like if he leaves the department store, he becomes a mannequin forever or something?
He
or
dies.
Am I getting, like, the movie Mannequin?
I think I think that might be what's happening.
Yeah. There was a weird, like, run of stuff about mannequins coming alive for quite a while there.
Yeah.
Mannequin
for some
2.
Reason... I'm like, I was like terrified. I still am, like, of things coming to life, like, you know. But for some reason, Today's Special did not bother me. Maybe it's because he was a good.
Yeah, that was pretty unthreatening. It was about as milk toast as they come, you know.
I mean, I don't know, but I was not scared of that. But I was terrified of, like, even like Mannequin. I was like, ugh. Why would you want to don't touch that mannequin?
Mannequin 2, Back to the Boogaloo. What was it? What was the sequel to Mannequin called? Was it just Mannequin 2?
I think it was Mannequin 2 Still Mannequin.
More Mannequin than you.
Two Mannequin 2 Furious.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah, I like Saturday morning cartoons. I think that school definitely overrode that, though, because it was like the end of freedom. I was never one of those kids that was like, oh, I'm getting bored. I wish school would start. It's summer.
It just depended on what my summer was going on, you know, like how my summer had been. Sometimes there was definitely a point during the summer where I'd be like, oh, gosh. I think I'm burnt out.
Never.
Burnt out on summer.
Never had that. Because why? Like, then you've got,
I don't know.
Video games to play and books to read and, I don't know, outside to play in. Why would you want to go back to school?
Because my mom, like, made me do things. Like, go to Y Camp and, I don't know, other stuff.
I guess I could see that. But
I think there's just... Even you can have too much of even a good thing.
I don't know. I can only get out too much vacation. I've proven that.
Yeah, but that's you. You know, you seem to not have normal wants and desires.
That's right. That's what makes me me.
I don't know. You had too happy a childhood, Phil.
Yes. It was a good childhood.
I had a good childhood too. I still sometimes got bored and I missed my school friends.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just saw them over the summer too.
See, you lived in like a small town.
Yeah, no, and either you were either on vacation or you were hanging around with your friends. Like,
yeah.
There wasn't a lot of in between.
Yeah.
You had to drive an hour to get to the closest mall.
Yeah, I think it's different for you, weirdo.
So, all right. Well, we got some announcements.
Stitcher. Subscribe to Stitcher. Join our Steam group. Don't forget, if you do join Stitcher, if you haven't yet, put in the promo code Brendoman.
That's right.
Janelle did that. But you could just, as you pointed out last week, you should do that on the webpage.
Right.
You
can't don't do just it from go download phone. It right on your phone.
Yeah, because you go on the webpage and then they'll send you like a link or something.
Yeah, it pops
Justin
up right
says,
away.
Justin says, what WTF about Christmas Story 2? So you know they're making a Christmas Story 2 now.
I did. But see, to me, that's awesome because that's not even the first sequel that they've done. It's
yeah, there's been sequels because there's multiple books.
It's at least the third sequel, right. So, yeah. And they're all of them featured. Each individual one was different actors and stuff. Obviously, A Christmas Story was the most popular, but you got Ollie Hop Noodles, Haven of Bliss. We mentioned this before, I know, but we also have the My Summer Story.
Yeah.
Which is
there's a couple
Charles
other
Broden.
Ones.
And yeah, there's been other stuff too.
But
so.
There's a few other books, and so I don't know. I just think it'll be different, but it'll whatever. Maybe it'll be okay.
Well,
probably
the books,
terrible.
Like the book, like I've read, you know, A Christmas Story, quote unquote, but it's actually a collection of like memoirs and essays
yeah.
and stuff. So it's really not even a solid narrative. It's just, and you can kind of tell if you watch it. It's based on several different vignettes, you know. So, yeah. I mean, there's room to have lots of other ones told because he just wrote a ton of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm happy for it. I think it's great.
Well, there you go.
That's my word.
So, I think this Howard Phillips concert?
Comment?
Contest.
Question? Yes.
Contest is over.
Contest. All right, we have a winner?
The winner is Adam Wells.
Congratulations, Adam Wells.
I will send you your prize.
And if you send your address, your mailing address to us,
we will send you your other prize.
And you don't have to send that publicly. You can send that in a private message. We will not publish it.
Our email.
Yes.
Which is brendoman@gmail.com.
Or you could send it on the Facebook messages.
Or that.
If you prefer. Or that.
Whichever.
So I saw something else, though. Speaking of Howard Phillips...
Oh, yeah, he has a Facebook page.
Yeah, I liked it.
He's been posting, like, awesome stuff on it.
Yeah, he's posting all kinds of old pictures of, like, the early days of Nintendo.
Did you see that thing that they made that was, like, a knitting machine?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Dude,
Who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know. It's been super cool. If you're interested in old Nintendo stuff and you haven't liked it, dear listener, you should definitely check him out.
Yeah, put a link on our Facebook page.
Oh, good. Okay. I didn't see that. So now, I don't know. Should we just submit our questions to him? How are we going to, like, should we just do it through his Facebook?
No, you should do it through the...
We got to do it directly.
I think you should call him.
All right. Well, we'll have to do that. Should we do that this week?
If you should go for it. This is your project.
All right. We'll do that this week. We'll have results. If for some reason we can't get through to him directly on his phone... If, like, that contact information is bad,
email,
then we'll try Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah, or email, you know, message him on Facebook.
So, I forgot to ask you, like, how was your Labor Day?
That was really good. Exciting? It's my mom's birthday over Labor Day, so.
So you went up to Big Bear?
Went to Big Bear. We went yard selling.
Did you get anything good?
This puzzle that's on the chat thing here, got that for a quarter brand new, if you can believe it.
I hear a child.
I actually have something, and I didn't bring it in, so I'll talk about it next week. But I got something very special related to our webcomic, actually. So,
I hear a children.
Oh, there is a children. Hi, that's my son Luke.
Hello. What's he doing?
Wow, we haven't had a cameo in a while.
What's he doing?
He's just saying goodnight. I'm out in the playroom, as you know, and
so what do they do? Do they see you out there and they're like, what is
this? Yeah, he's coming up and talking to me. I just tell him daddy's going to work.
Oh yeah. this is the closest thing you have to a joke.
Well, you know, I mean that's they can relate to it in that sense.
Okay, daddy. So I was listening to there was a Cracked article today, or is the other day, where they were talking about how the internet and like pop culture and the storage shows and all that has basically ruined garage sales, because it's very hard to find somebody. And I think there's part of a truth to this. It's hard to find people these days that don't know what their stuff's worth.
Yeah, there's a lot more people that are checking it on their smartphones.
Because even like old ladies watch Pawn Stars, you know?
Right. But you still get the people that know they're doing a yard sale and they have to offer yard sale prices. And
but
there's plenty
like
of those.
There's still, you're not going to, I feel like you're not going
to
find as many
I'll tell
like
you the
crazy.
Secret to this. Here's the answer. You go to church yard sales or other like organization ones. And here's why. You get lots of different stuff from
people,
a lot of times old people that don't know
stuff.
What they have. And it's not their stuff, so they don't care if they get a lot of money for it. So that every single thing that I bought at yard sales, I got this, I got a couple books, I got the thing that I'll show next week about
that is the Phil secret.
Every single one all came from a church one.
Can you tell us what it is?
No, it's I'll just have to show it.
Okay.
It totally caught me off guard and it's going to be fun. I'll tell you this, how's that? When we play Fireball Island, I have another game for us to play.
Oh, nice.
It'll be much shorter, but we'll do another little game. So
yeah, we got to do that. I'm sorry, I was just I Tuesday like school started for pretty much everybody, and work is just nuts now. So I decided I needed just some time to like veg.
That's cool. Well, we've got to do it.
Stayed
sometime.
Here, relaxed. Friday
fans
night,
want to see it.
Friday night, Derek came over. We'll talk about. We watched the movies. Talk about that later.
That's cool.
So
well, we'll just do it sometime soon. You know, people want to see Fireball Island. This is the
conclusion. Well, we can stream it live.
Yeah,
Google.
That's
Hangout.
What I was figuring is we'll just put our,
man.
Put the webcam on the board and play.
Yeah. All right. That's, so, that's awesome. What's going on with you?
Well, first of all,
not by mail. I don't want to play.
No,
Fireball
we're not
Island
playing
by
Fireball
mail.
Island. Requires being in the
I
same room.
Be there.
I think. Because you got to roll the marble down and out of the idol's mouth
so
and knock over the guys.
Just
if you have two sets. Well, we will talk about by mail. But first of all, I kind of mentioned to you afterwards, but we had a good little hangout after last show called After Hours with Phil. And basically, it was a little bit of an Andy Kaufman thing. And I just kind of kept talking and seeing how long I could get people to stick around. And it was quite a while.
Josh says it was really gross.
It was. I read some excerpts from an old Reader's Digest, and it was really good. I exchanged Nintendo 3DS friend codes with people.
Sounds exciting. It sounds really
pretty
fun.
Exciting. So if that sounds fun, you should definitely hang out afterwards for a bit, and I will do some other thrilling things.
Cool.
Tonight.
First rule of After Hours: don't talk about After Hours.
I'm not supposed to talk. Well, that's the only time I'll talk about it. That'll give people a little more incentive to listen live.
So what is this other thing?
I went to a concert this weekend, so I want to talk about that real quick. They were called the Sweet Tidings Gospel Jam Show. It was really
that's
funny.
That's the name of
like,
the band?
That's the name. Oh, the show is, no, Sweet Tidings Gospel Jam. And I went
is
to
the
their show.
Band?
That's the name of the band. And it's like, I think they're in there, maybe late, mid-60s or something. And they do like it's almost like bluegrass, but it's just a little edgy. They have
so
like one
just some old dudes in Yucaipa.
No, they're actually not from Yucaipa, although they did play in Yucaipa. But they totally have like okay, it's not straight up bluegrass, but it definitely fits that category because
like
there's just a little bit more edge. They have a banjo, they have a stand up bass, but he does like a lot of like really cool bass solos and stuff.
Sounds cool.
It's cool. Like it would totally fit with like a Javelina Rail Company kind of thing. It's a little closer to the straight up, you know, bluegrass country type stuff. But it's
all right.
I'm telling you, it was cool, and they were really funny.
Banjos and stand up bass.
But the best part about it, because like they had like little bits they do, little comedy and stuff. But the best part is they had like groupies, like what? Who were like seriously like in their 70s. Like as they were playing, this whole like gang of like 70-year-olds like walked in on their walkers and they're like, "Oh, hey, it's Bill. Hey, Joe.
Where was this?"
It was at like a coffee shop, and it was the funniest thing ever. And
coffee shop in Ukaipa?
Dude, it was bizarro. It was super awesome.
How did you even find out about this?
Oh, well, they have a lot of good music coming through the coffee shop, and Janelle and I said let's go check out their recordings. Are really cool. Like, I'm serious. It's actually pretty good music too. But it was really funny.
I believe you.
If you're into Javelina or even Steve Martin. A Slings kind of thing.
Well, somebody super senior brings up Steve Martin.
Yeah, with the banjo.
And Steve Martin groupies.
It was pretty funny to see. Because I had just gone to see Devious Means and all of their fans, the hipster types that were all there. And, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And then it was a bunch of like old folks showing up.
You know
and,
who plays a wicked banjo?
Who?
Ed Helms.
Really?
Yeah. He's way into banjo. He puts on like these shows at the Largo every once in a while.
That's cool.
Bunch of different banjo players and mixes it up with like comedy and stuff.
Oh, I have not.
Phil, you have seen him play banjo. I was on The Office. He totally did.
Okay, just because he played once on The Office doesn't mean I know that he's a really good banjo player.
You can't make up playing the banjo.
You can't make up playing the banjo.
No,
have you ever seen
good.
A movie about music? Everyone's faking it.
Yeah, but not that dude. Like when he was playing the banjo on the show, and it was him. And you can't fake that.
You can fake that. I can fake a banjo. You want a fake banjo? Couldn't. I can get you a fake banjo.
Josh is behind me. You can tell when it's real.
All right.
Come on. Like, you can tell when somebody's playing banjo.
No, Kermit played for real.
Kermit did play for real. What are you talking about? You don't ruin my childhood.
Why would Kermit need to fake it? He's an excellent banjo player.
Seriously. Yeah, you crossed the line, super senior.
Anyway, speaking of really cool stuff like that, have you seen are you friends with Orlando or Orlando?
Am I friends with him on Facebook?
On Facebook, yes.
I think I know. I was friends with him on MySpace.
Okay, you should because I think he has a fan page now. He just posted like this amazing bass solo thing that he did.
Oh, dude, he's one of the best bass players I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like somebody videoed him for like an art.
Is he in any bands or anything?
Yeah, well, he said like he's going to make an announcement about him playing live soon, so I don't know.
Oh, dude.
You should look him up.
Was he playing with, what's it called?
Create?
Well, then there was the other guy from the drummer from Javelina. The Oculus.
Oh, the O's in the Oculus? I don't think he played in that, but I could be wrong. I don't remember. But anyway, he's super awesome, so you should definitely...
Yeah, dude. He,
like him.
He plays regular bass, stand-up bass. I once watched him play bass solo with his teeth.
Yeah, he does, he uses a bow on the stand-up sometimes.
I've seen him play blindfolded. I've seen him play upside down.
Yeah.
He does.
This new one, he uses the microphone to bang on the strings of his stand-up bass, and it sounds amazing.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
I don't know.
And plus, his stand-up bass is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, this bass has... been places.
It's seen some
miles.
It can
tell a story. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So, yeah. So,
all right. Well, I guess this is the part of the show that we have to do now.
All right. Go Fish by Mail update. If you remember correctly, last week,
everybody can get up, go to the bathroom.
Now, this will be very quick. Matthew asked me if I had any twos.
Yeah.
And I did. So, I sent him a two.
So, you sent it to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, now what happens?
Well, now... He makes another request because he got his thing.
So now we're not going to find out till next week.
What Matthew's next request is.
This is so dumb.
But there is another update, though. I actually, now I can reveal my opening hand, and I had two pairs already.
Wow.
Yeah. So this could be a quick game. Since Matthew started out with two pairs, and I did.
Couldn't you just lie?
No, why would I lie?
I just won. I have all the pairs.
So that's
it. Game over.
See, that's quick. It's a quick update. I sent him a two.
Stupid update. All right. Well, I heard we got a fat alert.
Oh, we got a fat alert. This is funny. Okay, so basically this all happened on the same night. Janelle and I got a little date night. A friend of ours babysat. And... So we went to the Olive Garden, and we got Endless Pasta Bowl. Okay. And just a brief story about it, but the first guy, like, you know how, like, you have a waiter, and then they get the, oh, he's so-and-so's gone on break, I'm going to fill in for you?
Oh, gosh, yeah, that's
so the guy started out with us, and he was, like, kind of a skinny dude, and he was not unfriendly, but he was very, you know, get the business done. And we told him we wanted Endless Pasta Bowl, and he said, okay, fine. And then he said, I'm gonna go, you know, I'm taking a break. And the other guy came out that actually brought us the food and took care of us most of the meal was a little bit larger dude.
Uh-huh.
Not huge, but, you know, a little bit more of size. And he was, like, totally friendly and, like, yeah, oh, you want me to bring you guys more? And, like, he even offered a
fellow
to,
fat helping out.
Yeah,
his
fellow
fats.
Fat. Like, oh, dude, like, I love, you know, a lot of the servers complain about all you can eat possible, but I love it. I think it's a great idea. And, like, totally friendly the whole night. And so then, like, right before the end, he was bringing us, like, one last refill. And he said that I'll bring you one more and we could, like, box it up, you know, and bring it home, which is pretty cool. And so he went back and the guy came back off of break and he comes by and is like, you guys want two more? All right. And, like, totally judged us for wanting refills on the way out.
Wow.
So the lesson to be learned, fellow fats, is this. Try to see if you can get
waiters.
A larger server because they will be more friendly about you getting more refills.
And the other ones will not about doing their job?
No.
Jerks.
Yeah.
Oh, these terrible people that eat at a restaurant
that
I
work
at.
You want more refills?
Jerks.
Very, yeah. And to be fair, we only got two. Like, we got one and then two refills. It wasn't like we were totally pigging out. Because you really can't. How many bowls can you eat?
Dude, I think it's a trick.
Yeah, oh, totally. There's a reason they do that. Because that's about it. That's all you can
have. A lot of those all-you-can-eat things are trap.
Only Steve Neal can eat more than that.
That's true.
He ate five that night.
Yeah, didn't he throw up?
Oh, and then he also had breadsticks and salad, and he ate the dessert that they gave him.
Didn't he throw
Unbelievable.
Up?
No, well, maybe later, probably.
It's Steve's birthday today.
It's happy birthday!
Does he listen to the show? I don't know.
I don't know. Probably not.
Steve was my old roommate, and Phil's old roommate.
Yes, and a good
Named
friend.
Him to Colorado.
And we never heard from him again. No, he's doing good. He's married out there and stuff, so.
Yeah.
He lives in the same town as my mother-in-law.
So you never go there.
So I'll, don't see him as much as I used to.
Hey, you've been out there more than I've been out there.
Yeah,
just
I've seen him
one
times.
Time. Two times?
I've seen Steve in Colorado twice since he moved out there.
Okay, so that compared to my zero.
And visited, you know, other people while I was there.
All right.
So, all right.
Moving on to the book corner. I finished Astonishing X-Men. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And now I got to find the next one because I'm done with the Joss Whedon part, but then Warren Ellis took over, and I love Warren Ellis. And, yeah.
All right.
You saw Warren Ellis because he was at the red panel because he wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
That's Warren Ellis.
Okay.
He's a great guy.
That was a good movie,
really
by
awesome
the way.
Comics.
Did you ever watch it?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was really
They're
fun.
Making a sequel right now.
Really? White?
Yeah. Yes. The next one's blue.
No, they should switch it up, though, and make it, like,
green,
orange.
Purple?
Because everyone would be expecting it to be red, white, and blue.
I also read Beezus and Ramona.
Yeah, that's the first book in our
I had never read
series.
It before.
Really?
No. I enjoyed it. I liked the, like, you know, it was... I thought it was, like, a good... It had a good message, and... And I thought it was funny.
Yeah, there's definitely some funny bits.
I really liked it. It kind of was a bummer that like we Beezus becomes like a minor character.
Yeah, but she has her whole run of books too, though. Like,
I thought she only had like two.
I think there's maybe three or four, but she also figures prominently in the Henry Huggins ones, too.
She has Henry and Beezus, and then I think there's Beezus and Arona.
Maybe that's it. Mm. But she's a lot bigger character in the Henry Huggins ones, though, too.
Yeah, I guess.
So, you know.
I feel like Beezus kind of gets the shaft.
Yeah, but Ramona is kind of the star.
Yeah, but she's
it's
kind of
a fun
brat.
One, though. Well, she is, but that's why it's so great. And it's funny, because... I think as an adult, like, I even recognize more, like, I just thought it was funny as a kid. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, I've seen my kids do that, you know? Like, so it's kind of fun on a different level, too.
Yeah. And then I'm really close to finishing The Talisman, and it's really, really good. I was reading about how they're supposedly still making a movie of it, and I think it'd be a cool movie. I think it'd be difficult to pull off, but I think it'd be really cool if they could. Let's see. And then I'm working on the Back to the Future adaptation summarization, Ryan North.
Still very good.
It's awesome. Don't forget, if you want to purchase it, it's $3 on the Amazon Kindle store. Just type B to the F. And Dave Moffat asks, you're going to do Black House after Talisman, which is a sequel? Of course. I am going to. That's my next book after that. But I'm also going to be reading Ramona the Pest. I just had to order a copy because I didn't realize that I thought that was in the lot that I bought, but it's not. So now I'm stuck.
Is that the only one you didn't get?
No, I didn't get a couple, but I got a good run. I got like five of them.
Okay, that's good.
For really cheap. Well, plus, I got some other ones. I got some Henry Huggins books and two of the three Ralph S. Mouse books.
Oh, cool.
Which I love those books. The first Beverly Cleary book I ever read was The Mouse and the Motorcycle. It's really
great. She's really, really good. It's why I wanted to do the whole book club thing in the first place, is just because there's so many great books from childhood or even ones we didn't read but that we missed out on that, you know, maybe get overlooked as adults. So why not? Why not have a little fun?
Yes.
So I read Ramona the Pest, but we'll talk about it later because we've got a little time in the book club. And you haven't read it yet, obviously. But if you guys want to join our book club, please follow the link on the top of the website. And you can read these books with us. And
yeah, join our book club, join our Steam group. And
it's fun. And that's Book Corner.
Book Corner.
Yeah.
So it's time for Phil's Freaky Movie of the Week.
All right, well, I saw that Josh Anderson was going to be chatting with us tonight. And I've talked about this on other places and other shows, but I thought maybe it was time that we addressed it. If we're going to do Phil's Freaky Movies, this is definitely one that needs to be in there. So I thought maybe we could get a little more in depth and talk about Leonard Part 6.
No.
Now, you've watched this one, Brendo.
It's so bad. Bill Cosby will even admit that it's like the worst thing ever.
Now, see, Josh, I actually gave a copy to my co-host of the Pillage Cast, Josh Anderson, and another copy to Ryan Gates. And
where did you find two copies of Leonard Part 6?
I got it at Big Lots, of course.
Of course, Big Lots would have.
Big Lots is the place to find weird movies.
Weird, so, bad movies.
For those that don't know, Leonard Part 6 is the masterpiece starring Bill Cosby. Part of the joke is that there was never a Part 1 through 5.
That's hilarious.
So already it's hilarious. Before you've even seen the movie, there's a good gag in the title. And anyway, it's the story of this crazy lady who is using control of her super-powered vegetarians to control the different animal groups in the area and use them to take over the world.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
So, like,
it is worse
scene
than Ghost Dad, because Ghost Dad is actually bad funny.
Oh, no, this is bad funny.
No.
Like, for instance,
this is bad. Ghost Dad is way better.
A swarm of frogs attack someone, and they get underneath their car and all jump in unison and, like, bounce it off until they die.
That's stupid. And then at some point he's wearing a jetpack.
Oh yeah, there's a jetpack. He rides on the back of an ostrich. One of the great parts about the movie is that it spoils the ending of the movie in the first, like, I don't know, 30 seconds. The opening of the movie is the end of the movie, and so all the stuff you're wondering about, like, how is this going to tie in? Well, it shows it all at the beginning.
Which is stupid. It's terrible. So you only need to watch the first 30 seconds, and then you turn it
and
off.
And he fights the, like, killer vegetarians by bringing hot dogs along, and he, like, shoves hot dogs in their mouths. And they, like, die from it.
This is not appealing to me at all.
And then there's a little bit of romance. You know, he's
and mind you, this was Bill Cosby at the height of his fame.
Yes.
And they had the biggest show on television.
And it was a gift to those of us who
it was one of the biggest bombs of all time.
It was, but that's only because it was misunderstood as, for the genius artistic creation that it was.
You don't like this movie.
I do too. I've watched this movie so many times.
No, you just do that because you want to be Phil like that in part six. I'm so crazy, Phil.
There's the whole like romantic scene with his wife where like they put spaghetti on each other's head.
Somehow you managed to fool your brain. It doesn't make any sense.
I'll admit that it's one of those it's so bad it's good movies, but it is
not even and then it goes right back around to just bad.
But then it comes around again.
No.
There's like the freaky bird creature things that fight him.
No.
I mean there's so much great stuff in this.
There's no great stuff.
I really think that everyone should see it. Leonard Part 6. Bill Cosby's masterpiece. Is it what?
Is it on DVD?
Yeah, that's what I got him at Big Lots.
Is it on Blu-ray?
I don't know if Blu-ray would stoop to that level. I'm not sure.
I don't know. It stoops to some pretty low levels.
It might be. I'm not sure. I don't have a Blu-ray player, so I don't care. Yeah, that's true. Like, it probably would look better in HD. I mean, you'd be able to see that killer trout that swims into someone's swimming pool through the drain a lot more clearly.
Well, there you go. Phil recommends it. I don't.
Leonard Part 6.
It took me about 10 times to not fall asleep. And I still only vaguely remember it.
But I've made most of my friends.
Good, Josh. Watch it. You're the smarter man. Josh vows to never, ever watch it.
It should be watched by all.
I wish I could make that vow retroactively.
It's too late. I've told you the story of like making Steve watch it, right?
What?
I told you the story of making Steve watch it, right?
No.
When he used to work like a graveyard shift, and all he like, you know, it was at the campus safety, so he didn't have to do anything all night. Well, anyway, I made him watch it then because he had nothing better
to do.
And
then he never wanted you to go with him ever again.
No, then I went back and watched the David Lynch Dune with him after that. That was his punishment to me. So, Leonard Part 6, must watch. Definitely one of the best movies that Bill Cosby has ever been in.
He hasn't been in that many.
Well, he was in Ghost Dad. He was also, he had a cameo in Meteor Man, I believe. Meteor Man?
I think that's, yeah.
With Robert Townsend?
Yeah. All right, well, let's go into Netflix On Demand Random Movie
Corner.
Let's
do it.
I got quite a few here because it was Labor Day weekend. I watched the usual. Well, I watched the season finale of Storage Wars. So there's no more Storage Wars, so I'm sad about that because it's great.
So you can just rewatch the old ones. They're still just as entertaining.
Yeah. Well, then I got a new. I got Storage Wars Texas now.
How do you feel about that?
I enjoy it. I like it. I think it's a different. It's such a different dynamic. Although their villain is like a cartoon villain. He's like pure. He's just like so always trying to do. He's like he wears all black. He might as well be like Snidely Whiplash or something.
Does he have a big old mustache that he curls?
He's almost to that level of like cartoon villainy. It's pretty ridiculous, but I like the other. I like the other people.
I've watched one of them, and it's fun still. I mean, it's the classic, you know, seeing how much old junk is worth. But I like the characters on the original a little better, I would say. But still good, though.
Yep. Definitely and then been watching Collection Intervention. That's been awesome.
I need to see that.
They went to they've gone to Frankenstein's twice, and then they went to former sponsor of Bagged and Boarded Golden Apple Comics.
Oh, really?
And, like, I feel like Ryan, like, totally lowballed this dude. Like, he bought a bunch of his comics, and I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, maybe he was just being shrewd.
Being a good businessman, I guess.
Yeah. Just because he's on a show doesn't mean he doesn't have to make a buck still.
Yeah, that's true.
They didn't pay him that much to be on that show.
Yeah. But it's a great show. I've been enjoying it. Some of them, though, is like really depressing, and I really hope that they... Because it's like really... Some of them are more borderline hoarders than others.
Right.
So like this week, I haven't finished watching it yet, but there's a total like... One of them's basically a hoarder. It's more hoarder than collector.
And what channel is this on again?
Sci-Fi.
So I have to actually like get cable.
I think it's on the website. I think you can watch episodes online.
Oh, really?
I think so, on their
then
website.
I shall do that.
On their website, I think. I mean, I already went over that. Okay, so then I watched Cat Skeletons Buried Under Comics, exactly. Then, Derek came over on Friday evening. I wasn't feeling well earlier in the evening, and then I was feeling a little better. And Derek came over, and we were watching on the on-demand, like, because I have, like, all the premium channels. Like, if you have HBO, Showtime, they right. have on-demand, and then there's, like, just all these movies. And it changes, like, every month. So, like, I hadn't watched, seen, like, it was September, so, like, it was, like, new movie time. And so we watched, these were Derek picks. We watched, we had a double feature of the Jonathan Taylor Thomas classic, I'll Be Home for Christmas, which is the last Disney movie he ever did.
I don't even remember that one.
Okay, I agreed to watch it based on the plot synopsis.
This is not the one with Jodie Foster.
Nope. This has, it's JTT, Jessica Biel, and Gary Cole as JTT's dad.
Okay.
And so Jonathan Taylor Thomas is like, he's in college, and it's like a community college, except there's dorms. So I don't know how that works. And so his dad, who is recently widowed but is, I guess, remarried, he tells him if he can get home by 6 p.m. Christmas Eve, he will give him his Porsche.
Okay.
And because he really wants him to come home. But then Jonathan Taylor Thomas's enemy on campus, like the campus bully, basically kidnaps him and leaves him in the desert with a Santa suit glued to him, and he has to get home.
What?
It's very weird. It doesn't make any sense.
It's a Disney movie, but if it was like not a Disney movie, that could be like
it
a
sounds
really
like
horrible...
a crime. I know it sounds like a horror movie. That's what I was saying. I'm like, this is like brutal.
Yeah,
this is not a comedy.
And there's something like a key in his stomach that he has to like saw
and
out.
A series of traps. Like, it's pretty much this basically. So that's what intrigued me, and then it was really boring and pretty stupid.
So not near as exciting as that.
No, but you know what was great, and I'd actually never seen it before. The Little Rascals.
Oh, really?
I enjoyed
it. I actually saw that in the theater as like a double feature back in the day.
Wow. That came out when you were like 14, dude.
I saw it with my little sisters.
Come on.
Sisters.
These movies, is License to Drive on streaming? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think it is.
License to Kill? Is that on streaming?
I don't think that is. Maybe. But, all right, yeah, so the Little Rascals, those kids were all great.
Yeah, it was totally good.
I thought it was good.
I like the little froggy kid.
Yeah, the little froggy. Well, you know who was the voice of Froggy?
No.
Was E.G. Daily from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the voice of Chucky on Rugrats.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I did not know that.
And she was one of the Powerpuff Girls.
Yes.
So she did the voice of Froggy. And then, like, the two kids, the Alfalfa and then the other kid... those guys, I thought they were really funny.
Pansy, what's his name? What's the main kid's name?
Well, there's Spanky.
Spanky. What?
Pansy?
I don't know why Pansy was the first thing I thought of.
And the little kid that plays Buckwheat is really funny. I don't know, I like the kids.
Yeah, I remember it being fun. That's the last
time I saw it. It was entertaining. All right, so then I watched a movie I've been wanting to watch for a really long time, and it's on Netflix. It's called Series 7, The Contenders.
Okay.
And this is a movie that was made like in the early 2000s, and it is basically a mockumentary. It's a fake reality show where the contestants kill each other.
Whoa.
So it's like in the future, but like it's like a, you know, because this is like when reality television and like what it's basically like saying like this is what the end result. Like, is this right. where, when's it going to stop? And it's like a reality show where the contestants kill each other, and it's filmed like reality style. It's got like Will Arnett in it. One of the girls from Nurse Jackie. It's really good.
Is and it, like funny also?
It's dark. It's very dark humor, but some of it's not. It's a little brutal. Like, it's not super violent. It's kind of violent, but it's dark humor. Like I said, because the whole time it's like very tongue in cheek. Like, this is nuts, but it's played very straight. There's like it definitely is making like these. I don't know. I liked it a lot. So then when I play World of Warcraft, I like to like either listen to podcasts or watch things that I don't have to completely pay attention to, you know?
Right.
So I watched some wrestling documentaries.
Okay.
One of those, because there's like a ton of them on Netflix now. So like there's ones that WWE makes. I watched the History of WrestleMania, which is awesome because it just goes through every WrestleMania. And it's like interviewing everybody and all the celebrities and all the wrestlers. So it was just like this huge nostalgia trip because like I grew up watching all that stuff. But it's also sometimes sad watching like old documentaries about old wrestlers because so many old wrestlers are dead.
Did it talk about Andre the Giant?
Yeah, extensively, like WrestleMania 3, because that's like one of like the greatest WrestleMania moments ever. The Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. And there was like 90,000 people there.
Well, I like Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant was awesome.
He was in The Princess Bride.
Yes. Did you ever see that movie My Giant with Billy Crystal and Mirasan?
It was all right.
It looked terrible.
Yeah, it was all right.
But wasn't it like loosely based on Andre the Giant or something?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't remember that being the case.
It was about a guy and his giant. Like there was a wrestler.
Right? Yeah, but no, but he got him into like movies and stuff, I thought.
Okay.
I don't know. I watched it on video a long time ago and it wasn't that memorable. I just remember like he had like a similar ailment, you know, like that a lot of the guys like that, you know, that are real tall like that have. But, I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, and it was cool. That was like one of my favorite parts of the History of WrestleMania because they talk a lot about that match and like how Andre the Giant was so nervous because like this was like his last big. He knew this was going to be like his last big main event, huge thing, and like he was so proud of it. And it was kind of cool hearing all the wrestlers and people talk about that. So it's
cool.
Because I think that's one of those people. Like Andre the Giant's one of those people where because a lot of wrestlers are kind of scumbags, and like just a lot of like because it's such a tough business, and there's a lot of like double crossing and alliances, and you always there's like huge factions in the wrestling world, but in all the wrestling documentaries and stuff I've watched, like it seems like Andre the Giant was one of those wrestlers that was like respected by everybody.
He seems like a genuinely transcends wrestling.
Yeah, and he was just a cultural icon.
Everybody like, knows about him.
Everybody knows who Andre the Giant is. Yeah, exactly. And so he's one of those just like cultural icons. Like I feel like him, and then like Hulk Hogan. You know, like And that's where, like, those guys are, like, I don't know if we could, like, I think as far as, like, those kind of, like, The Rock is pretty close.
Yeah, but he's probably the last one that really has transcended, you know, medium.
We'll see. I think we're still.
Not that Moore couldn't, but the last one that I know.
The movie that John Cena in was terrible, so I think that kind of. Did you watch The Marine?
No.
It wasn't very good.
I know it's not wrestling, but Randy Couture was good in the Expendables.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I'd watch him in other stuff.
Yeah, and that's what he's MMA. Is that what he does?
Yeah, he's an Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah. But still, you know that's pretty cool that he got into the acting thing.
Yes.
So
okay, but then the other one I watched was really depressing but I just really wanted to watch it because it was the WWE official. So it's called Heart and Soul, and it's about the Hart family. Bret Hart is like one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, and his brother Owen Hart. And Owen Hart died in 1999. He was the wrestler that in Kansas City he fell from the rafters.
Oh, okay.
And it's really sad. And like this family, they've had a lot of awesome times, but they've had a lot of Owen Hart died, and then one of the brother-in-laws he died. his name is one of the other wrestlers in the Hart family. He was the sister's, one of the sister's husband. Well, basically, it's this family from Canada, and the dad was like a legitimate wrestler, and then he was going to try out for the Olympics, but then they got canceled because of the war, World War II. So that's when he got into pro wrestling, and he started a promotion in Canada, and he became like the biggest wrestling guy in Canada, and then he had 12 kids, and they were all wrestlers, and one of them was Bret Hart. And so it talks about their family history, and it's really cool. But again, it's kind of sad because of like, you know, one of their kids, it was British Bulldog. One of his kids, died of like the flesh eating disease.
Ugh.
It was really sad. He was like 12. And then British Bulldog himself, who was married to one of the Hart sisters, he was also one of my favorite wrestlers when I was a kid. They had a team called the British Bulldogs. And they carried like a little English bulldog to the ring, and his name was Matilda, and they were really good. And like these guys were like really good technical wrestlers. It was Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog, and the Dynamite Kid. And anyways, I'm really talking a lot about wrestling today. But so Davey Boy Smith, he was also one of my favorite wrestlers. I remember my brother was way into him. And later on in his career, he joined the WCW, which was like the rival promotion.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. 75% of those dudes are dead now. That's why it's really depressing. So British Bulldog was in WCW, and then there was another big... So this is when Hulk Hogan was also in WCW, and there was this pay-per-view where he was going to wrestle the Ultimate Warrior, and Ultimate Warrior came back because he was a huge wrestling star in right. the 80s. And the Ultimate Warrior had this crazy gimmick, stupid gimmick, where he was like coming out of the ring in a trap door. So the ring had this metal trap door in it, and you would think they would inform the wrestlers, like, hey, you might want to watch out for that trap door right. in the ring that's made of metal. You might not want to land on it. But they didn't tell anybody, and that trap door ended two careers on one pay-per-view.
Oh my gosh.
So there was a Japanese wrestler named Ultimo Dragon, who was one of the most respected wrestlers in the world. He landed on it on his back, and he tried to keep wrestling, but he eventually could not wrestle anymore. And then British Bulldog broke his back on it, and that led to a staph infection, and then he was addicted to painkillers, and he died like a year later of a staph infection.
Jeez. Did it like happen at the same time, or did they keep wrestling after one of them got hurt?
Well, it's like it's kind of in the wrestling world. If you can keep going, like if you're not just completely like you can't move, like British Bulldog broke his back and kept wrestling.
Oh my gosh!
Like, and that's what they do because they're so. That's like the crazy thing. Like people don't realize like just how brutal it is. Like then they're because you know they're putting on a show and like there's a crowd, and like I watched there was a SummerSlam. Where Owen Hart literally broke Steve Austin's neck. Like, he broke his neck doing a pile driver.
Ugh.
And you can tell, like, if you go back and watch it. But we were watching this live, and we didn't know quite what was going on. So you see, like, Steve Austin can't really move. And then you can kind of tell they're, like, talking. And then they kind of do this thing where, like, Owen Hart's, like, kind of, like, cheering and trying to buy time. Like, kind of gloating to the crowd. And then Steve Austin just kind of reaches up. And grabs him and pins him, and then they end the match really quickly. But like the fact that he even was able to get up and do that with a broken right. neck, I don't know, well, dude. Some of those guys are tough. They're tough guys.
Well, we've talked about this one of the reasons
why I respect it so much.
We've talked about it a little before, but you know, because everyone's like, "Oh, it's fake." Well, it's not. So I mean, regardless of whether or not they're really
and they're not actually punching each other,
right? But
still doing things.
It's a show, as much as like you know, watching a gymnast or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
stunt guys in a movie,
right? Like
things still happen.
They're still flipping around and doing. I mean, like I've watched them with you, like at Long Beach, and. I would be done. I'd be out of breath in like 2 seconds doing the stuff they do, you know?
Dave Moffat writes, you got to watch the Bret Hart Michaels one next. That is the next one in my queue because they did one about Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, which another one of those legitimate things that happen in wrestling where it's a long story, but basically like Bret Hart was going to leave the WWF – and he was supposed to, like, he was going to fight Shawn Michaels and win in Canada, and he was the current champion. And Vince McMahon was so worried that Bret Hart was going to leave for WCW with the WWF title, and that would have been terrible. Right. Like, could you imagine? Like, and that would have been a big deal. Like, if Bret Hart had showed up on a WCW show with the WWF title, so he rigged the match that was already rigged, because we were not saying it wasn't rigged, but it was a there was they had already determined the finish.
He re-rigged it
without telling Bret Hart. He made it so that when Shawn Michaels had Bret Hart in a submission, which he was supposed to reverse, he had the referee ring the bell before Bret Hart could reverse it. And so I remember watching that too and just being like, what just happened? Like, that was not, like, you can tell when, like, things are happening that are supposed to be happening. Like, okay, yes, this is supposed to be happening. And then when something is not supposed to be happening.
Right.
And, like, you can watch it and, like, Bret Hart legitimately gets up and spits in Vince McMahon's face. And it just caused this whole crazy controversy to this day. There's still people take sides over it. There's still bad blood. It's pretty nuts. And I was like,
still a WCW?
When I was in high school. Oh, no. WCW is gone.
That's what I thought.
Vince McMahon owns. WCW is not a thing anymore. Vince McMahon bought it. Bret Hart had to retire a while ago. Bill Goldberg ended his career.
Like legitimate. From injury?
Well, yeah. Bill Goldberg didn't know how to do his moves properly and gave Bret Hart a concussion, and he had ended up having multiple concussions, and then later on it caused him to have a stroke.
Ugh.
So, like, again, like, these guys all have these lasting injuries, and then they're, like, addicted to painkillers and other things because of it, and then look at them, like, they're like as Dave Moffat says, like, there's certain older wrestling cards you can watch, like old SummerSlams, where, like, at least half the card is dead. Like, and that's not, and that's, like, these are from, like, the early 90s. Like, I don't know any other, that's, like, that's crazy. Like, if I go back and think about, like, okay, like, in the 80s, I was watching baseball. None of the baseball players I watched when I was a kid are dead. Whereas more than half of the wrestlers I watched when I was a kid are dead. Like, that's really nuts. So, I don't know. It's kind of that thing, like, we were finding out a little bit too late that, like, because, you know, like, a lot of football players are dying now.
Right.
From, like, all the concussions. And I think we're going to start seeing that even more across the, in those contact sports. And,
yeah, I mean, it's brutal. I remember, because my mom's a nurse, she would always say she didn't want me to go. If I picked a sport, she didn't want it to be football because she'd seen more disturbing injuries from football players than, like, anything else.
I think your mom's smart, man. I think it's true.
I mean,
and I know a lot is being done now to help, because I think people are finally realizing, like, hey, we might need to fix this.
Yeah.
Because, like, so many football players are, it's just, like people getting, like, hundreds of concussions. Like, yeah, it's pretty nuts. And it's, okay, well, so there was our wrestling talk.
Wrestling with Radio Brendabad.
Yeah. So then I also noticed that one of my all-time favorite crazy Japanese, I think it's Japanese. It's, I guess you could call it a kung fu movie, but it's really not. It's just a really crazy movie. It's called Ricky O, The Story of Ricky. So it's basically about this guy that's in prison and he fights these guys and he has this basically superpowers where he can punch through people.
Okay.
And, he just punches through people and rips out their guts and makes people explode, and it's really crazy. Okay, so did you ever watch, like, classic Daily Show with Craig Kilborn?
Yes, yes.
Okay, you know when they did the top, the five
questions?
Uh-huh. And there was that scene where the dude was smashing the guy's head?
Yeah.
That's from Ricky O, The Story of Ricky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So stuff like that. Did you see the Jiro flick yet? Not yet. I think Jiro Dreams of Sushi, is that what you're talking about? Yeah, that's also on Netflix. I heard it's really good. I want to see it. I heard it's one of the best documentaries of the year.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I also want
Derek
to watch
it. Derek saw it. That restaurant, it's like charges like hundreds of dollars for sushi. I would like to go, but that just seems like a lot of money.
I think one of the cool things about documentaries is, like, like
they can make anything good,
a well done
cool.
documentary can make even something you have no interest in really interesting.
Yeah,
totally. That's pretty cool. Because totally. I don't really care about sushi, but I would watch that movie.
Love sushi.
Anyway, all right. So
for all you know, sushi could just be the best tasting thing in the world. You're missing out.
Sushi is not one of the things that I won't eat. It's just something I don't. I've tried some different kinds, and I'm like, man, whatever.
Yeah, but you probably eat the crappy kind that's at those buffets you go to.
Probably. I would try more sushi. It's just not something I'm passionate about.
Dave Moffat writes, I stumbled across Sci-Fi Boys doc on Netflix. Well worth a watch. I saw that, too. That looks great. I'm going to watch it. Sci-Fi Boys. It's about sci-fi film makers.
Okay.
One
of the greatest things about Netflix and similar programs is the access to all these awesome documentaries.
Yes.
Which you never, I mean, how many documentaries before the internet, how many documentaries had you watched?
I watched quite a few, but not nearly as many as I do now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying none, but they're just, you didn't have access to them like that. And it's a great, thing for people that don't have money to make. So it gives, there's a lot of opportunity for more, it's just a good time to be in entertainment, man.
Yeah. All right, like you said, one of the other things I try to watch when I just need a distraction while I'm doing something else is stand-up comedy. So I watched Russell Brand in New York City, which I guess was one of his first U.S. comedy specials.
Huh.
It was really funny. Good? Yeah.
Right. I like Russell Brand. Stories. It's funny.
And then I've been watching tons of Buffy. That's my go-to right now while I'm playing World of Warcraft.
Good background watching.
Yeah, well, I'm running those dungeons. Because she's fighting bad guys. I'm fighting bad guys.
You're like on a team.
Yeah, man. I'm on the Buffy patrol.
The Buffy team.
Fighting vampires. Except I'm not fighting vampires.
They don't have vampires in World of Warcraft?
They do. No, they don't. I don't think they... No, wait. They have werewolves.
See? If they don't have
them, they
will. I play
Sean Howell last. I forgot to ask Horde Alliance. I actually play both. I know that's... But I have friends on... I played a Horde for most of the time, but then my friends and my coworkers that I play with, they're Alliance, so, you know, whatever.
Gotcha.
But that's... To some people, that's like blasphemy. But I feel like if you don't play the other side, you're missing out on half the game. Because they have a completely different questing experience and everything. So I feel like you're missing half a game. So might as well, I want to get my money's worth,
right?
That doesn't help me decide what to roll. Well, I'll tell you, it depends on what you want to do. If you want to do PvP, I play PvP on Horde, on Illidan. If you want to do PvE with me, like dungeons, that's going to be on my, I'm going to roll a new tune when the new expansion comes out, and that's on the Alliance on Illidan. I have a guild. You can join our guild. I'm going to roll a panda monk. Because you can be pandas in the new expansion.
Can you be a kung fu panda?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, dude. Kung fu panda. Like monks. Like they're kung fu, man.
Huh. All right.
I'm going to be a panda tank.
Panda tank?
Yeah, because there's like different roles and there's a tanking role, so I'm going to be the tank.
All right.
Because there's more need for tanks, and if you're a tank, you don't have to wait in line in the dungeons. You instantly queue. So that's why I want to be a tank.
Okay.
Because there's way more people that do damage dealers, and so you have to wait longer. Although right now, I haven't had any trouble. My warlock is a DPS caster. And I haven't had to wait in line in any queues lately.
I didn't know you had to wait in line.
Well, because they queue, if you have a party ready to go, you can just go in a dungeon, but they have a system where if you don't have anybody to play with, you can, join a queue, and they'll queue you up with people. And in order to go in a dungeon, and if you want to actually win, you have to have a healer, you have to have a tank, and then you have some DPS. So there's way fewer healers in the game. Because a lot of people think healing's boring. And so if you're in the dungeon queue, sometimes you might end up waiting a while to wait for a healer. But if you are a healer, you're instant queuing all the time.
So that's another decision that you can get all your money's worth out of your game that way.
Yep. I don't think healing's boring. It's just, to me, it seems like if I screw up, like, everybody's going to die. That's too much pressure, man. You play healer in D&D. Is it hard?
Yeah. No, I think it's fun.
Sometimes you have to make the tough decisions, though, like who lives and who dies.
Yeah, well, it's true. I don't know. But I like it. I think it's fun.
See, so
everyone's, like, dependent on you, you know.
See, that's the thing. Like, you're, like, the good guy. You're a good guy, so of course you would want to be a healer. I'm a selfish. Like, I want to be the superhero and beat stuff up. But you're, like, good guy Phil.
But see, I still had, like, some spells to cast and stuff. Yeah, I wasn't,
and
that's, like...
Yeah, so you got something. There is a DPS priest build, but you don't, you're not really healing if you do that. So okay. You can be a fighter priest. It's called a shadow priest.
Well, I like it being able to do both.
Yeah.
But,
and there are certain classes where you can do both. This has turned into super nerdy talk now.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm finally on the last chapter of Fire Emblem, so I'm
Are you really of the DS one?
Of the
Have
DS
you beaten
one,
it
yeah.
already?
No, I've never beaten it. That's why I went back to it.
Like, Ish started playing it. I let him borrow it, and he's like, dude, this is hard.
It's really hard. Like, it's the hardest of the Fire Emblems that I think probably the hardest one.
When are they doing a 3DS one?
I believe so. I've heard rumors.
That's what the next isn't that the next one, or is there going to be another Wii one?
I think the 3DS is the next one.
Okay. Has the Wii one any good?
Oh yeah. I mean,
what's your favorite one? The classic Game Boy Advance, isn't it? Game Boy Advance?
Well, there's two on Game Boy Advance. Probably the second one, which is the Sacred Stones, I think it is called, something like that. That's mm-hmm. probably my favorite. Because, you know, each one has slightly different rules, and there's different, like, classes that are in them and stuff. And I think that's my favorite set of rules and classes and whatever. But they're all good. I love Fire Emblem. That's seriously one of the most addicting series to me.
Have you played Advance Wars?
I have, yeah. It's
is
good.
Is that cool?
I never it played is. It. It's, I don't like it as much just because the theme isn't as fun to me. Uh-huh. But it's very similar. It's kind of more like Final Fantasy Tactics, I think.
You like Final Fantasy Tactics, right?
But I like that too, yeah.
They haven't made a sequel in forever, that's true. I figured they would make more Advance Wars games, but I guess the DS one didn't do as well as they thought it was going to.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, because I got mine for pretty cheap, but I got it after it came out a while, so.
Josh says Advance Wars is nothing like Tactics.
You don't think?
So you just started a fight with Josh.
Well, how is it not like Tactics?
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Uh-oh, set him off.
Well, a couple things. For me, here's how I'm differentiating them. For one, you don't have permadeaths.
Yeah.
I mean, all three of them are like grid-based, you know, like you have the units, you move them around, you can, you know, it's like a board game almost because you're plotting out your moves ahead of time. But I don't know.
I had a grid scratching in my DS screen. You could see when it was off. That's awesome.
Yes. I have screen covers on mine, or else it would be that way too. I don't know. I don't know what's so different about them. I think they're all very similar, and I'm not talking about theme. I'm talking about more like the gameplay. Actually, I don't know. Maybe I'm totally crazy on that, but that's what I think.
All right.
So boom. They're well, still. Buffy, I like them all. They're good, but Fire Emblem's still my favorite.
So big difference is unit growth and stats.
Well, I didn't say they're exactly the same game.
Gosh, Phil. Get with it.
No.
Well, I've been watching a lot of Buffy, and I'm on season 2, and season 2 is great. So good.
You know that I've never watched Buffy before?
You should watch it.
I watched the movie.
Movie's great.
It's a good movie. Just never got around to it. Is it on Netflix?
Yes.
I'll have to watch it sometime then.
I finished this season of Tron Legacy. Not Tron
Legacy.
Did you
really?
Tron.
Uprising?
Uprising.
Did you like
yeah.
it?
It's really good. It was really freaking good. Did you? How much of it did you watch?
I haven't watched any since that first one. Is it on
Netflix?
Oh, dude,
they got a little... Yeah, oh, no. I think it might be online, but okay. Like on the Disney whatever website. No, I actually recorded it.
Okay.
And but they got Olivia Wilde to come in.
Oh,
as,
yeah?
Like, and there's flashbacks featuring her character. The story is just really good, and I really like what they're doing with the story.
Yeah,
and
I super
Paul Rubens is a voice of one of the bad guys.
Really?
They have really good voice casts. Yeah.
Well, I really liked what I saw of it, so I will have to check that out too.
It's enjoyable. I highly recommend it. And the animation and the music are awesome.
Well, right, you got I watched a bunch of stuff. So first of all, I watched a documentary called Make Believe.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix. It's awesome.
Is this that documentary about the magicians?
Yes, about the. I've been kind of on a magic kick ever since the Penn and Teller thing. So, but it's super awesome. It follows the story of these kids that are competing in the World Teen Magician Championship. I can't remember the exact name of it, but basically championships for all the greatest teenage magicians in the world.
Why wasn't Matthew ever in these Teenage Magician Championships?
I don't know, but now that like we're on this magic kick, he watched it with me too. It's awesome. Like, you remember that movie Spellbound about the spelling bee? It's the first one I've seen since then that has that same kind of feel to me. Like, you see all of them and their different backgrounds, and they come to this big competition, and then you like we all picked someone to root for, and then you find out who wins. And oh, dude, it's amazing though. Like, it's really really well done and very interesting. And the guys, the people that win, like the top five people, are just amazing. Like, seriously, as good as some of the people on that Fool Us show with Penn and Teller. Like, I don't know how.
So these are like world-class magicians?
Oh, yeah. Like, out of the entire world. And we're talking like people in the top 10 or whatever came from South Africa, Japan, like some other European countries, all over the United States. Like, it really is a world championship. And out of, they narrow it down to one.
Speaking of magic, I might be able to get us into the Magic Castle.
What?
Would that be something you would be interested in?
Yes, that would be amazing.
I know, right? This lady at work was talking about it. I got a bugger about it again.
Yeah, let's make that happen.
I think we might have a connection.
Dude.
It's hard. I've tried to get in. So I was supposed to go with Derek, and then they had the fire there.
Oh.
And then
they had a fire.
I think he went, and then I didn't get to go the next time. I don't know what happened. I've always wanted to go.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Especially since Arrested Development.
Well, yeah. okay, so then other stuff. Actually, Chris Ferris turned me on to this guy.
What is this stuff?
Okay, it's a British, like a BBC guy. He's done several series on the BBC. His name's Louis Theroux, or Theroux, I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
He has done several series, and he does, like, all kinds of weird stuff where he'll like go in and meet these controversial groups, and he actually like lives with them for a little while and tries to get to understand them.
This is on Netflix?
This is actually on YouTube, but they have like full episodes on YouTube.
Okay.
And like, for instance, the first one, the one that Chris Ferris posted about, is America's Most Hated Family. He goes with the Westboro Baptist people and stays with them for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks or something. And, like, gets to know them all and, like, interviews them. And it is crazy. He, like, stands out there. He doesn't picket with them, but he stands near them. And, like, captures, like, what people are doing to them and what they say back. And, like, oh, my gosh, it's crazy. And these people are, like, nuts. Like,
oh, yeah, they're freaking nuts, dude.
But part of what's great about this guy, and the reason I've gone on and watched more, is he's British. And he's just got this dry way of, like, talking to the people. Like, he's never rude or mean, but he totally, like, logics them into like tripping over their own weirdness, you know, like he just, the way he presents the stuff, he's got such a good dry sense of humor. It's awesome. Other ones I watched a bunch of them. There's another one with the Nazis. He goes and like stays
what's America's
with,
was there a difference between America's Most Hated Family?
He did
America's
one
most
with
hated a, family in crisis.
Yeah, he did one with them, and then 4 years later he went back and like followed up with them.
Okay.
And like some of the people that had been like hardcore in it had like dropped out. And were,
oh, yeah,
like,
there
oh
was
gosh,
ones that
cold.
Left.
Yeah, so he goes and interviews all them, and then he goes back and interviews the people that are still in it and talks to them. Like, because
I remember Kevin Smith interviewed one of the ones that left.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
it was really interesting.
It's fascinating.
And Dave Moffat says, I was there.
Oh, because
it was
Kevin
in
Smith one?
It was in Kansas City. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, because that's where they're based.
Yeah, they because Kevin did a Q&A and they came to pick it, but then there was also a couple of them that had left the church, and then he brought them up on stage and talked to them.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I'm about to look that up because I'm kind of fascinated by them now. Like, they're a bizarre and sick group of people. Like, just
Well, if you ever want to watch something very, if you want to get an insight into what's the leader's name, I keep forgetting.
Phelps, I think.
No, Fred Phelps.
Fred Phelps. Yeah.
So my friend Malcolm made a movie called Small Town Gay Bar.
Okay.
And he actually sat down and interviewed Fred Phelps, and it is nuts. It's actually that interview is what kind of inspired Kevin to write Red State.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
So at the very least, you should watch that part of Small Town Gay Bar. That's also on Netflix.
Yeah, because he was like really hard. In the Louis Theroux ones, he wouldn't talk to him. Like, he was really hard to get an interview.
Oh, yeah. Well, Malcolm actually, I don't know how he pulled it off.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
But he sat down with him for like a day.
That's weird. Yeah, he's a creeper, dude. He is just a horrible. Ugh. But it's so fascinating to see this. So he did another one where he spent a
how do you find Nazis?
Like neo Nazis, like skinheads.
And he's just like, hey, can I hang out with you guys?
Yeah, like he goes Wouldn't and stays at some of their houses. Like, and it's crazy because like, okay, first of all, like he goes to one of their hate rallies.
Where was this?
This was in, I think it was in like either, I think San Diego County. It's out in the desert somewhere, like desert south, Southern
like
California.
Inland area,
yeah,
like Temecula,
somewhere down there. No, I want to say it was down
like
more like
Rancho Bernardo.
Yeah, yeah, like out down there, maybe like towards Alpine and
I somewhere could see down some there. Neo-Nazi activity out there.
Yeah, you could picture that. It was all kind of deserty. I can't remember exactly where it was, but
yeah.
Well, for one, he like visits with for like a week the ex-leader of the KKK.
Wow.
And he like does all these talks at the hate rallies, and he goes, so he actually goes to one of the hate rallies where they're talking about, and I'm not going to say the words, but they are very openly using like the horrible terms you can imagine. And it's just crazy because he like he'll go up to him and just interview him like, yeah, I think racism is wrong. What do you think about that? You know, like,
yeah,
like, and then there's one where he's actually like in the, like the head of the hate rally guy that arranged it. He's in his garage with all his like buddies, and they're all like, you know, typical skinhead tattoos and stuff. And he's like, you know, he spends a while with them, kind of asking them about their stuff, and then he goes, "How would you feel if I told you I was part Jewish?" And the guy like snapped, and he like started like grilling him. He's like, if you didn't have the camera on right now, like I'd beat you up and throw you out in the street and all this stuff. And he's like, I'm not saying I am or I'm not. I just was curious like how that would affect you. And he like goes back to the room to like, get his buddies to come out. And the Louis Theroux's like, I think it's time for us to go. And they like take off. But like, it's just insane.
Oh my gosh.
It's insane. Another one I watched was Under the Knife, where he goes and he spends like a while with all these different plastic surgeons in like Beverly Hills, and like he interviews all these people that are like addicted to plastic surgery. This one's kind of gross because it actually shows some of the surgeries happening.
Does he interview the Dr. 90210 guy? Because that guy's weird.
I don't know. Like, if probably because it was all these guys in. I don't know what. He didn't call him that, but. But, like, these guys that do the people that are addicted to surgery. And he interviews some of the, like, addicts as well. And then he goes to one of them, asks them, like, what kind of surgery do you think I could have? And the guy gives him a suggestion, and he goes through with it and on camera gets his own liposuction.
Holy crap.
Just to, like, see what it is and, like, how it makes him feel and stuff. And, oh, dude. And then the last one that I watched is he did one about UFOs where he goes to, like, Roswell and Area 51 and, like, interviews these people and... Some of them are just nutty, and that one's a lot more lighthearted, but it was really funny, too. So
that's cool.
Anyway, I'm watching more of them. So it's Louis Theroux, Theroux, and he's really cool. Yeah. So that was my blah, blah, blah. And they're on YouTube.
Oh, I got some soda files.
Oh, nice.
I've tried out a few sodas.
Okay.
So one of the ones I tried, it's Ralph's brand, which is Big K.
Okay.
They actually have an apple soda.
Oh, really?
But it's red apple, not green apple.
Really?
Because the soda that I loved was green apple Fanta.
Yeah.
But this is red apple soda, so it's more comparable to like if it was a soda version of apple juice.
Right.
It's really good. I like it. It's a little sugary, but I was quality. And it's only 99 cents.
And it's the Ralph's brand?
Yes.
Sometimes those store brands are the best stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally. Speaking of store brands, over at the at the Walgreens. Yes.
Okay.
No, CVS. CVS, sorry. CVS by my house. Their brand is called Nice.
Nice.
And they had a soda, is in the fancy bottle, like in the bottle soda section, called Nice Strawberry Cream.
Ooh.
It was delicious. Highly recommend it.
I had some freestyle yesterday.
Oh, yeah? What'd you freestyle?
I did two of them. I did my old standby, which is the Fanta Zero Peach.
Mm-hmm.
But I also did Diet Pib Cherry Vanilla.
How was that?
That was pretty good, too.
Mm. I had the new Pepsi.
What's the new Pepsi?
It's not Pepsi Max. It's some other Pepsi. It has 40 calories.
Huh.
And it was actually impressive.
Okay.
Because it tasted a million times better than Diet Pepsi.
I think Pepsi Max is better than Diet Pepsi, too, personally.
This tasted better than Pepsi Max.
Huh, okay. You remember what it's called?
Pepsi something.
Pepsi light. Something?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're just giving up on the marketing now. Pepsi something.
Pepsi less calories stuff. Yeah,
whatever, Pepsi just put our logo on it. People will buy it. Who cares?
So I was actually impressed. If Coke made something like that, that would be delicious.
So it's a 40-calorie. How much 40 is a regular calorie. One? Like 150?
Like 180.
Yeah, okay. So that's still pretty... That's kind of like if when we go and like get like half diet, half regular at the fountain, right?
Yeah. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I was impressed with it.
All right.
I enjoyed it.
I will definitely give that a try then.
All right. So on the video game front, like I said, playing a lot of World of Warcraft. I actually started, like I said before... I played some more Diablo 2. I'm on Act 4 of Nightmare.
Okay.
So once you find a good like co-op game, it's easy to get some momentum going. So I plowed through some content, and I was actually having a good time.
All right.
And I found some cool rare items.
And no more server issues.
No, I think that's over.
That's good.
I'm playing a lot of WoW. Getting back into the game. And so like I said, if you want to play, battle tag is BrendoMan19. It's BrendoMan and then the # 1937. And I also play a lot of Animal Crossing, and it's September now, so there's lots of salmon.
You get any coelacanths yet?
Nope.
That'll be a day of rejoicing when you do.
Much rejoicing. I have been making a lot of bells.
That's good. How much do you owe Tom Nook?
Well, I owe the $948,000 for the last thing, but okay. I'm never going to pay it because you don't have to. And okay. You don't get a prize if you do.
Okay. But so it makes you feel better to be debt-free.
Feel good to stick it.
Take that, Tom Nook.
Not paying you.
I watched some of the like Japanese trailers for the new 3DS one.
It looks so awesome. Excited.
Yes. Looks good. Dude, looks some of those, nuts. Like, some of the furniture things. Oh. They know how to get the old players back into it, man.
Oh, yeah. So you're playing Mario Kart?
So, yeah, I played some more Mario Kart this week. I've been getting a lot of, like, spot pass challenges from other people, so I've been playing a lot of ghosts and whatnot.
Nice.
Like I said, I'm on the final chapter, finally, of Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon, so... I'll definitely have it beat by next week. But I also got a new game.
What'd you get?
On my 3DS, I got new Super Mario Bros. 2.
Oh, yeah, I played that the other day. A coworker got it.
What'd you think?
It's fun.
Oh, it's super good.
It's a lot of coins.
Yeah, like that's kind of the big thing with it. It's got like crazy amounts of coins.
That's what Josh said was stupid about it.
Well, I mean, I think it's a cool gimmick. I wouldn't want it to be like that in every Mario game, but it's kind of a fun gimmick for it, you know.
I didn't have a problem with it. I still think it's Mario. It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, seamless and perfect platforming. One of the cool things about the coins, I think it's kind of cool, is that it, like, keeps track of how many coins you've collected overall, and then it uploads that to their whatever, and they have, like, a running world total
yeah.
of how many coins in the world people have collected.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. So, but, yeah, super fun. I haven't gotten very far into it because I just picked it up last night.
Oh.
But,
you know, you don't have to buy the cartridge. You can just download it.
Yes, but it's the same price, so why would I not want to get the cartridge?
So you don't have to go to a store.
But I like going to the store. First of all, I get tags from all the guys in there, all the regulars.
Oh my God.
So I go in it every once in a while when we're down there, and I'll stop in and get a bunch of tags. And I like to have the stuff. Like, I want to hold it. Why wouldn't I want it?
Because you don't need it?
I like it.
All right.
I'm holding out. Physical media, man.
Okay, we teased it last week. We're doing it this week. Talk about the CD listening project. This is Selective OCD and You with Phil. All
right. So, it's actually, we started this in July. This has been going for a little bit here. But for those that don't know, I have a pretty extensive music collection. And
extensive meaning insanely extensive.
Well, I've mentioned before how it's alphabetized. Like,
how many CDs do you have?
I don't have an exact count because there's a lot, but it's over 2,000.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, and that's not even counting, like, demos tapes, and oh, vinyl. Tapes. Oh, my gosh. You want to go tapes and vinyl, then I can't even begin to count. And, like, demo CDs from bands. I mean, I have hundreds and hundreds of those. So, you know, there's a lot. But in my main collection that I have, like, you know, meticulously alphabetized, probably somewhere around 2,000, be my guess. Pretty safe guess. So Janelle and I, well, mostly me, but Janelle's allowing it, have decided to do this project where I'm listening through the entire collection in alphabetical order.
How long is that going to take?
Well, we started on July 10th of this year.
Yeah.
So it's been, what, like almost 2 months? And we're on BL.
Wow.
So, you know, like something that would start with like black or blue, BL. That's about, it's like the third shelf down, out of, I think, 33 shelves, maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Something like that. And that's not counting like the slim, like, you know, cardboard case ones and stuff. So it's going to take a while.
How long do you think it's going to take?
Well, based on the current
few years.
No, I think it'll be about like,
so you're listening to the entire CD,
Right. I think it'll be about like 14 months. When?
Yeah.
Mostly in the car, because that's when we're like together and have time to listen and stuff.
Do you have to be together?
Mostly. However, there's some stuff, like I got a lot of hardcore music that Janelle doesn't like, or like Danielson that I love and she doesn't. So if it's something she doesn't like, she doesn't have to listen to it. So like when I'm, say, driving back and forth to LA by myself or something, that's when I'll listen to those. So in order to keep it in order, it's not an exact... like, in other words, I don't have to listen to them exactly in order. What I'll do is I'll pull a chunk of like 10 of them and put them in the car. We listen to those 10 in whatever order, and then the chunk goes back and we get the next chunk. So I had to compromise a little bit so that Janelle would be able to, you know, participate.
Sean Howell writes, Phil needs to apply to NASA. He's ready for a 3-year trip to Mars.
Yeah, as long as I can fit all the CDs in there, because they're not MP3s. yeah, there's a lot. And it's been really fun. And actually, going back and listening, I've removed one CD.
Like what?
That I decided to get rid of. It was not good.
And, what was it?
It was a band. It was like called Age of Faith. I think I picked it up in like a 50 cent bin somewhere. It was like, see, on a cool...
Anytime you see a 50 cent bin, you can't not spend money.
Yeah, and we went back and listened to it, and I was like, I don't know why I kept this. It's pretty
because we were probably somewhere, and you felt like you had to buy something.
Yeah, it was on. They're on the same record label, to be fair, that like Dear Ephesus, Alixa, do you remember them? Like...
yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if I could judge like by a record label.
Well, it's not always true, but sometimes a record label has, you know, consistent taste. In this case, that was not the situation. It was bad, so I got rid of it. Only one so far, though, and we're in the BLs, so we'll see.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's a productive.
So it is. See, it's not like entirely OCD, just a little bit,
just a tiny, tiny bit.
But that way, you know, if there's stuff I'll go through and I'm like, I don't really like this, then we
can
get rid of
it. How long did it take you to alphabetize everything?
Well, it's an ongoing process because if I buy new ones, I got to integrate them and then move everything down the next shelf, you know.
How long does that take?
Well,
do you leave like gaps in each shelf?
Oh, no. Each shelf is packed tightly.
So you have to, like, rotate everything?
Yes, every single time. And then, as
oh
I
my
re...
gosh, dude, that's like, annoying.
Let's say I put, like, one CD in the A section, then I have to move one at the end of each row down to the next row. And then, since we're talking about my OCD habits here...
What if you run out of space?
Well, I need a new shelf. Right now, it's, like, the last line of CDs is under my little end table by my bed. But then... once I've reorganized them, I look in at the end of each row.
Uh-huh.
Like, I see if, you know, like, let's say I've got 5 Starflyer CDs, and then there's a break, and then I have to have the next ones go down to the next row. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they don't all fit on the same shelf, so they have to continue on the next shelf. I count that as one break, and then I'll go through and count how many breaks there are throughout the collection, just so I know.
Dude.
And then I have one shelf that's got like kind of a split down the middle, and so it's like 2 sections. And
need
if it,
some help.
If a CD, if an artist jumps across that, that's only a half break.
You so then, need some assistance.
The thing is, I really do that. So,
all right.
So yeah,
let's do Nintendo Power, and we'll get out of here early.
All right, Nintendo Power. Okay, so it's kind of an interesting week this week. For Nintendo Power, because, well, for the first 11 issues, no, 12 issues, the first 12 issues, it was bi-monthly, mm-hmm. So that's when we had, you know, November, December, January, February, like that. Well, starting with this next one, the last one we read was actually the 12th issue. This next one, they started doing monthly, but they alternated a strategy guide and then a regular issue. Remember they did that for... They only did 4 of them, actually, 4 strategy guides. So, technically, the next one, Volume 13, is a strategy guide for Super Mario Bros. 3. But there's not really any content other than, like, the strategy. So, I think that if you would agree that we should probably skip that and go back to a regular issue...
Okay, that I definitely that's fine.
Yes. Okay. So
the
I do have
guides
those
were Super Mario Bros. 3, Ninja Gaiden 2, Final Fantasy,
and then the 4 player,
the sports one, the 4 player. Yeah.
It wasn't just sports; it was all for the 4 player thing.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it
did
would
you just
be
fart?
Worth. What I just bent over and get the book.
Was the chair?
The chair. It was the chair.
I heard
Bill.
A fart, dude.
No, it was the chair.
Like a gnarly fart.
That was the chair. That's the great thing about podcasting. No one can know.
People can hear.
I was the
chair. I know
chair.
What I heard, and that was somebody. She cut the cheese.
Let's cut the cheese. I tried the chair. Okay, so we're skipping that one, and we're going to go to the July, August 1990. So technically, this is volume 14. This is when they start counting volumes, but they also have the month. So on the front cover is Rescue Rangers.
Nice.
And that was...
You show the cover to the camera?
Well, I can't exactly.
Why?
Because my cover is missing somewhere with
of
the other stuff. So I
missing
only have
cover.
Like the inside.
Okay. That
anyway,
looks
so
terrible.
It looks
Don't
terrible,
do that.
So I can't show it. But the front cover is Rescue Rangers, trust me. One of the greatest like multiplayer games from that era for sure.
Oh, dude, it's awesome.
My brother and I played through it over and over again. So, here we go. We've got a celebrity, kind of a special celebrity thing. I don't know how much I'm going to go through it because they're kind of dull.
Okay.
But they have a Speedway celebrity profile special, and they have a bunch of different profiles on like race car drivers.
Ugh, nobody cares about
right.
race car
so,
drivers.
And like I've looked through them, and it's really dull, and it just talks about their racing and then what their favorite racing games are.
Do they all say RC Pro-Am?
Well, no. Ivan Iron Man Stewart, of course, cites his own game.
Of course. His own game was awesome.
Yeah, but I mean...
It's off-road.
Of course he's going to say it. Bill Elliott likes...
Bill
Elliott's
racing?
NASCAR Challenge.
Really? He put his own game. They all put their own games.
Al Unser Jr.
Al Unser Jr.
Unser Jr.
Right. Al Unser Jr. is racing.
He doesn't mention that on here though.
I don't think there was.
I don't think there is. No, he doesn't. He just says he likes playing Nintendo. He doesn't even talk about a specific game.
So basically, he doesn't.
Yeah, he says he's a huge Nintendo
What's
fan.
What's that Nintendo thing?
Yeah, like I said, and then Michael Andretti.
Michael Andretti, yes.
And it says he has little time to play NES, but he likes it. So I'm like, that's the weakest celebrity profile ever. Like,
lame.
It's basically they have some racing games coming out, so they're like, we better get some guys
racers.
Here. They also have behind the scenes at Lucasfilm.
Oh, that's cool. And, cool.
For like the games.
Maniac it
mentions
Mansion.
Maniac Mansion is coming, yes. But it doesn't really go into too much. And it's funny, the game that they're actually talking about mostly in here, although it does talk about that a bit, is Pipe Dream.
Oh, Pipe Dream is cool.
Which is cool.
I didn't realize, but I forgot that was a Lucasfilm.
Yeah, it's kind of not typical Lucas of their Arts. Thing. So anyway. So that's kind of the little celebrity dealio for that.
Cool.
So now we'll go to our video spotlight. Now, this is the first month when they don't have a power player. They have people that suggest themselves as power players,
but
they
not.
Got rid of that little column there.
Dang it.
So we still have like people that have written in so to say good, like how good they
are.
Did you
find a good liar?
Yeah, it's okay. It's not as good as some of them. And it's actually someone that brags on behalf of their kid. But I thought this one was worthy of reading here.
Who writes in bragging about their kid?
Well, here, you'll see why I think this one is funny. Jonathan Chifrida, age 6, is a phenomenal Nintendo Power player. He has been playing the Nintendo Entertainment System for less than a year and has successfully completed 16 games, including, here we go, The Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Bros. 2,
okay,
DuckTales,
Duck
Bubble
nice.
Bobble.
Wow.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Because I got the like Game Boy Advance remake, and it took me a long time, even with cheats, like looking on facts to get that one beat.
It's one, it's long, and two, some of the later state, it gets really hard.
And there's no save on that, if I remember.
Well, there's passwords.
Well, right, but that's what I mean. Like, you can't, like, writing down those passwords, like, that was a big thing. And I remember losing a few back in the day. Like,
yeah.
Okay, anyway.
You can't read your handwriting. You're like, what is it? Is Q?
No, seriously. And especially like on Metroid or Kid Icarus, where you'd have the like different characters like O,
then
lowercase zero, or lowercase O, capital O, and then zero were all three different things. Oh my gosh. I remember having to create like different codes for us to decipher them later. It was, ugh. That's one thing that, although I appreciate and like felt like you had to earn it more back then, I don't miss that much.
Yeah.
So. Let's see. Simon's Quest.
No.
So now, I don't know. Now we're getting
6-year-old beating Simon's Quest.
Yeah.
See, that's questionable at best.
Mega Man 2.
Okay.
Wizards and Warriors.
Okay, I beat Wizards and Warriors.
Metroid.
It's hard, though. Another hard game, but beatable.
Life Force.
That's a hard one, but beatable.
Hard one, but...
Well, you could use the Konami code.
Yeah. And this is the best one. This is like why I thought this letter was worth reading. The final one is the Three Stooges.
That what? That's not a game that you brag about.
He beat the Three Stooges. I mean, I've never even played the Three Stooges game.
That game looked stupid.
I just thought that was pretty awesome that she mentioned that.
That's funny.
Anyway, she goes on to say that it's cool because he learned how to read by playing Nintendo games and. Blah, blah, blah. He can't wait to get Super Mario Bros. 3 and is now working on Adventure of Link. John truly deserves to be a Nintendo Power Player. So, that one mostly I just thought it
signed
was worth because
he your gave, mom.
Yeah, from
wrote
Judy.
In for you.
Yep.
Loser.
Judy. And it's got a picture of him. He's wearing a Mario shirt, which back then was pretty cool.
It was
they
pretty cool.
They didn't have a lot of licensing back then.
I remember they had puffy stickers.
Yep.
I love those puffy stickers.
Yeah, but because, yeah, we had our little, I had like a sticker book back then. And I would get, like, Nintendo ones, and wow.
Oh, yeah, sticker books were a big deal.
That was a thing, right? Wasn't just me. Okay.
That was definitely a thing.
Yeah.
Well, because plus you had Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's all kinds of stuff. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles had
them. And just all those other stickers.
Yeah, yeah. Puffy cool stickers, but sticker. Any sticker. All right, good. I'm glad that wasn't just me.
Scratch and sniffs.
I kind of doubt that's a thing that's going to come back, which is sad. I remember I'd like go to the drugstore with my grandma, and she'd let me pick out like the.
I told my traumatic sticker book story on popsicles, but I'll tell it here.
All right.
I had a sticker book with tons of stickers. Loved my stickers. I was in like first grade, maybe second grade.
Right.
And there were these sixth graders that lived across the street from us in our cul-de-sac, named the Good Bodies, and I accidentally left my sticker book. On outside our house by the mailbox. Okay. It was like a power transformer, and it really was crazy. You know those transformer boxes, like those big ones, and we would sit on it and play on it.
Right.
And I went on Google Street View the other day, and it's still there. Right next to the mailbox. It was weird. It was like virtual nostalgia. It was really crazy. So anyway, so I left it there, and I came out the next morning, and I found out they had burned it.
They burned your sticker book?
I know. What kind of twisted kids do that?
That's really sad.
Terrible. I was traumatized and so bummed. And then afterwards, my mom got me like a little, but it was like a little replacement sticker book. And I was like, this is not the same. And that was the end of my sticker collecting days. Whoa. And also, I had some of my rare Garbage Pail Kids that I hadn't, ones that I, because there were some that I took, like if I had doubles, I would actually stick them. But I had a bunch in there that like I kept intact.
Right.
You know, like the backing's still
never,
on them.
Yeah, never peeled.
Yeah, well, I only peeled if I had doubles.
Okay.
And so I had my other ones, and some of them I would, like, because I would check the checklist, and, like, just, you could kind of tell which ones were rare just based on if your friends had them, you know?
Right.
So I had some that, like, nobody else had, so I kept them in, like, a pouch in my sticker book, and those also got burnt up, and that was really a double bummer.
That's horrible. Because
those probably are valuable now.
What kind of a person?
Terrible people, man. Those good bodies.
That's that Star Wars stickers.
Oh, yeah.
I think I had A-Team stickers.
Well, then there was, like, those licensed sticker albums with, like, the little stickers.
Yeah.
They still have them, like, in Target for certain things. And you would buy, like, a pouch of the stickers. They're cool. David writes, I burned lots of G.I. Joes when I was a kid.
Yeah, I believe that. Those were your G.I. Joes, though, not mine, right? All right, so players poll for the month. The grand prize, one winner gets a Nintendo Power vacation to Orlando, Florida.
Dude.
Win a trip for four to the Nintendo World Championship Finals in December.
It's like the Wizard.
Like the Wizard, yeah. This one, the games are Tetris and Rad Racer is what it shows.
Okay.
Oh, and Super Mario Brothers, the original Super Mario Brothers. And this will ring a bell. You might have heard of this. So you get to see the finals. You get to meet the winners and other fans from around the country.
The grand prize winner, right?
What's that?
You get the gold cart?
Yeah, the grand prize winner will also take home a one-of-a-kind gold-plated,
which are now worth like $20,000.
Yep, featuring Super Mario Brothers, Rad Racer, and Tetris. The same one used in the thing. And you get a paid excursion to see the various tourist attractions in and around Orlando. That means they got to go to Walt Disney World.
Dude, yeah.
Dude.
That's an awesome trip.
That's incredible. And that cartridge is worth $20,000 now. So
yeah.
If they held on to it, wow.
Pretty nuts.
That's pretty nuts. So that's Player's Poll. And, okay, so one other thing. If we completely don't have any good, like, power players, there are the game counselors, which are kind of easy targets, and a lot of people have picked on them.
I love the game counselors.
But some of them have some pretty funny stuff, so we could cover some of them.
Okay.
I didn't start out doing those because I know a lot of other people have picked on them
already. I just want to hear about one of them. Let's just
all right,
do one.
We'll do one game counselor for the night.
Because it's like a spotlight on a particular game counselor, right?
Yeah, they have profiles. They have four different ones. I can show the picture on the camera here. I don't know how well it'll come out.
Okay. Oh, dude, those guys look like tools.
There's these two guys.
There's a mullet guy.
There's a guy with the mullet, and then I'm going to move over. There's a balding guy with a mullet here on the bottom.
Nice.
So,
I have a friend who was a game counselor. I need to talk to him.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he ever get featured in Nintendo Power?
I have to ask him that.
So here we go. Mike Snyder. He became a counselor in December 1989. His hobbies are skiing, video games, and camping. His highest game score was he finished Bionic Commando in one life.
What?
And his favorite game is Bionic Commando. Now, see, here's the thing. Like, that sounds like a liar, but then again, he is a game counselor. Aren't they, like, superpowered? How do we believe that?
That is crazy.
With one life? This other guy, Dan
Emerson.
I guess if
you played it enough, I guess it's possible. That'd be so hard, dude.
Yeah, like, that game is hard.
I mean, he knows where all the pills are. That's true.
I don't know. See, I kind of think if they got to be play counselors, they've got to be pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
I could Dane Emerson, that's the balding guy with the mullet there, poor guy. He says that he finished both Bionic Commando and Strider in one day.
Dude.
Another good accomplishment. I don't know. So, there's some guys. I don't know. They're not quite as exciting as the others, but there's some pretty good stuff. Rich Richardson, his hobbies are motorcycles, hard rock, tapes, and CDs.
My hobbies are tapes.
Yes, my hobbies are tapes. Dane Emerson's hobbies are computers, electronics, sports, video games, and aircraft.
Aircrafts?
No, aircraft singular.
My hobby is aircraft.
What's your hobby? Aircraft. So those are the gameplay counselors.
My hobby is yacht.
My hobby is vehicle.
Car.
I've been meaning to take up boat lately.
I'm really into shirts. Okay.
All right.
Let's do the top 10.
Here we go. Top 10. All right. Number 10, Shadowgate.
Yes.
There's actually no brand new ones to the list, but there's been a shifting of the powers here.
All right.
Number 9 is Tecmo Bowl.
The best.
Number 8, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ooh, took a dive.
Yes. Number 7, The Legend of Zelda. Still in the top 10.
Still hanging in there.
Yes. Number 6, Tetris. The NES version of Tetris. They haven't started ranking Game Boy ones yet, although Game Boy is out by this point. Number 5, Zelda 2.
Yeah, but at the that Adventure point, there was like 3 Game Boy games.
Yeah, well, they have a little Game Boy section, but there's not much.
Tetris?
They have Pipe Dream, Paperboy, Wheel of Fortune. There's a few, but there's not. It's slim pickings still. Zelda Link number Mega Man 4 makes Mega Man 2 is number 4, and number 3 Super Mario Brothers 2.
Nice.
Number 2, now this one I think has jumped up quite a bit. Batman.
Oh yeah, that's way up.
Yeah, that's climbed.
Batman was huge,
and it was that was actually one of the better licensed games. It was a pretty decent.
Definitely.
Game.
The Batman, the LGN Batman games are actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, so that's worthy.
My favorite being the Batman Returns Superman game. I mean, Super Nintendo game.
Superman game.
Batman Returns for Super Nintendo. Yes. It was a beat 'em up. It was freaking awesome.
Has there ever been a good Superman game, though? That's a shame.
No.
I don't think so. finally, number 1, you can probably guess at this point, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Of course. Oh, Sean Howell writes, on PS2 there was
a good Superman game?
That's what he's saying.
Which one? Because I would be interested in playing that.
What was the name of the Superman game?
It was called...
It was based on the animated show. Okay.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Don't know the name.
All right. Well, that is your Nintendo Power for the week. Next week, we'll have... I've checked, and I'm golden for quite a while here. I went and looked up
to
make sure.
You find issue 2 yet?
No, but I've been doing a little eBay looking here, so...
Why don't you have the PDF file?
Well, send it to me, then. I could do it.
It's in our folder, you tardo.
Oh, it is? I gotta look.
Whoa. It's been there for ages.
All right, well, maybe we'll
Adam
do that.
Adam sent it a long time ago.
Maybe we'll do it. I just hate to give in. I want to have the real thing.
But you lost it. You gotta admit it. It's gone.
Oh, it's somewhere.
Mr. I keep everything, and I don't lose anything.
It's somewhere. The second I find it, and the second I buy one, I'll find it. So
don't buy one.
All right, maybe I'll pull out the PDF, because I must...
You can just look at it within the Google Docs. It's not even okay. That'd be better almost.
No, I gotta print it up.
No, you don't.
I'm just kidding. I can't handle that. I don't
print
have
out Nintendo Power.
Is that a gross misuse of like internet? If you print out something so you can have a physical magazine to read,
that's just stupid.
All right. Well.
I remember making Xerox copies of textbooks.
Yeah. Like yeah. It's called Biola, right?
Yeah.
Like
whole textbooks.
In fact, I remember I would sneak into the library. How did we do that? Because you go. Oh, I guess in the library.
Super stealth. We did it in a library.
I also remember I would go in the bookstore and like just pull out the book and like write the questions down for that week that I needed, and then you know they'd say do the questions on page 12 or whatever, and I just go write them down. Oh, I wonder if I need to buy this book. No, that's fine, and then I would just leave.
Yeah, the used book sale and then like the book ripoff market at Biola was pretty huge. Like, I'm surprised the bookstore didn't try to get that Bubs folder removed.
Yeah.
Because it was just like trading, and
they lost a lot of money on our little bulletin board deal.
But
they also charged.
Textbooks are nuts. Then you can never sell them for the same price you paid for them.
No, because the second you buy one,
they're always changing the editions. College textbooks are the biggest racket.
Yeah, they're totally a scam
in the world.
That's not unique to Biola. That's everywhere. But my gosh, like seriously, I remember like my parents were like, "Oh, you know, we'll help you get your books the first semester," and I'm like, books, like how much could that be? And then I'm like, oh my gosh,
hundreds of dollars.
It was like, yeah, like $200 for the books.
Well, then there's of course the one semester that you buy new books because you're stupid.
That was my first semester. Second semester, I bought all used books.
Then you learn about the underground trade, and then it's like, then you start doing things like borrowing and swapping and
going in together, going in together.
I did that, but then there was the bottom, which is Xeroxing the books while the librarian's not looking.
Yes. Yeah, that it got to that eventually. Or, like I said, crouching and doing it in the bookstore or whatever. Those were the days.
The worst is when your class doesn't actually use the don't actually use the books. That's happened plenty of times.
Yeah, you'd spend tons of money and then, oh, you don't really need it.
Then I had this teacher at Cypress, which was the worst, where he didn't have a textbook. It was like these printed notes, but they cost like $50.
Yeah, because it's his own notes that he made up, and they're like collated.
This is bull crap.
Yeah, like, and it's the teacher, they'll always say you have to have this one textbook that's the thing that they wrote.
So
and
they're like making,
syllabus too.
It's like it's like they're double paying, getting paid for the book and for teaching the class.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, if you're not going to go to an actual publisher, you're just going to collate your notes, I'm not paying $50 for that.
Yeah, it's annoying.
All right. This has been Textbook Rant.
Textbook Rants on Radio Brendo Man. Well, that's pretty much going to do it for this week's episode. You can catch us on RadioBrendo.com. Don't forget also on Stitcher. Be sure to thumbs up on Stitcher. Rate us on iTunes. Put in a review on iTunes. Do whatever. Heart us on Tumblr. I don't know, man. Do whatever you feel like doing.
All those things.
And our other sites, braxcomics.com. Okay. I'm trying to figure out still Monday's strip.
Okay, this one has been so much fun because I've gotten emails from people who are like, that was the best comic ever. And then I've gotten other emails from people like, what the heck are you talking about?
Are you talking about because it's a lay person?
Uh-huh, so he's not part of the clergy, that's that. And then a burr is like a little, you know, seed pod that comes off of
a plant.
That's
the stupidest thing. Nobody's going to get that.
Yeah, there's even in the hover text, it has the answer to it.
I did, and I was still like, that is so stupid. Because most people don't know lay, plus it's dumb.
But it's in the title, it says the worst Labor Day pun ever. So
you can come up with anything else.
I thought that was genius. I was proud of that.
I'm reacting exactly like Manny.
yes you did, as David points out. That's exactly what Manny said. You are the worst. And that's what I knew it. Like that. Not all of them are exactly you and me.
Sometimes
but
they are.
Sometimes it's basically this is what Brendan would say and will say the second he sees this. And it was I thought it was awesome.
Well, hey, thanks for doing that one because I didn't have to do anything.
I thought that you would love that.
Sometimes I do more work than other times.
Well, that one, it came to me. I think it was in the shower on Labor Day weekend. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the worst pun ever. I got to use it.
That's like kids with gas eat free material.
It is. So I have to out, you know, I had to have a little outlet for that horrible pun, I guess.
All right. Although I once got you to do a Kids with Gas Eat Free that featured a farting Mozart.
Yes, you did.
Classical gas.
Classical gas. That was pretty
good. Come on.
That was good.
And I got you to draw the fart. That was awesome.
That's good.
All right. Well, BraxComics.com, PopVoxMusic.com. There is a special on our book right now. If you go to a Facebook page and click the link, there's a promo code. It's good till the 9th, I think.
Nice. I saw that.
What day is it today?
It's a good deal.
So it's still good. Yeah. Maybe it's the 7th.
We'll leave it still.
It's still good.
If you go get it right now, you'll have time.
So it's 20% off if you use the promo code that's on our Facebook page.
Good deal.
So you should do that. And Pillage Cast?
Yeah, listen to the Pillage Cast. Although, we don't have a new one this week, so it's a good chance to catch up on your classic episodes.
Yeah.
Or hear the little bit that Brendan and I recorded the other week.
When Josh spills all his pants.
Yeah. And then you guys got mad at me for some dumb thing that I do. We talked about, if you want to hear more about Go Fish by Mail, you should definitely listen to that little blurb.
Oh, my gosh. Well, stay tuned next week for more exciting Go Fish by Mail updates. And I'll probably talk about wrestling some more. And right. Send in your reader mail because we didn't have any this week.
Yes, we need it.
You guys all on vacation? You don't like us anymore?
No, I think it's because everyone is in the chat, so they felt like they had their questions answered instantly.
I guess
you
that's
have to
true.
Still give us stuff to talk about the next time.
So RadioBrendo.com, click the Ask Us a Question or send us a message on Facebook. Email us, BrendoMan@gmail.com, Twitter at BrendoMan. And none of those things are answered by Phil because he's late. Well, sometimes Facebook, and sometimes his replies won't make any sense.
But I also answer them on the show, so that counts.
Yes.
In fact, I've been chastised for answering them before the show, so.
Yes, but some of these funny comments is fine. Or if you're just going to be stupid, feel free to do that all you want on your own time.
Yes, I do.
All right.
All right, well, that's a great show. Thanks.
That was a good show. This time for the Radio Brendo Man. For the Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan.
I'm Phil.
We didn't do our last names that time.
Well, I followed your suit.
Well, all right. This has been Radio Brendo Man, and everybody have a good night.
Out the door, the car.